all the hackers and the crackers, to the hackers and the crackers. I see in binary, I speak source code. Step on my toes, I'll post a million JPEGs of you in a fag pose. In your digital stance, hitting firewalled hoe. Cause I'm riding the net in my 6-4. I was a dick with my 56. Now with my cable, I'm able to get that stable. On the out, my name is Ace and I'm a Leo. On the digital highway, my name is Neo and I'm a hero. In a flash, I'll school you on burning Dreamcast. You need some ISO? Let me do my hard drive rifle. Our exchange you could never stifle. In a digital hug, you just caught the love bug. I bootlegged your CD. I caused the fight between Un and Jay-Z. Your CG, it's all gonna be free. Whether we take it by force or we take it nicely. You feel that rattle in your bones? When I tell you we just hacked Dow Jones. And NASDAQ leaves you flat on your back. Cause I am he who loves to hack and crack. Cause I am he who loves to hack and crack. This is dedicated to the hackers and the crackers. Serial codes, source codes, ISOs, RANs, SIPs, SIPs.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Binary Revolution Radio, episode number 134 for February 7th, 2006. I'm Strom Carlson.
And I'm Black Ratchet. And I'm not even sure who we have. We have all kinds of guests tonight.
Yes, but our main guest is a very special guest for BinRev Radio, the one, the only, well, Mark Spencer.
Actually, there are many, many other Mark Spencers, as it turns out.
Oh, yes. Well, but
it's a surprisingly common name.
I can imagine, but see, the thing is, you're of all the other Mark Spencers out there, you're the only Mark Spencer that matters.
Oh! Thank you. That's very flattering.
Wow. But who else do we have? And we're apparently talking to the Digium conference room tonight. So who else do we have in the conference room this evening?
Well, we have Junkie. Well, Claude Patry, but he's generally at least until yesterday was known as Junkie, and apparently as of yesterday is now known as Drunkie. But also we have Matt Brooks, aka Shep
Brookshire
or Brookshire. One of the others, who is the main, like, internal development guy here for all the web stuff that we have to have, order systems and all that. Junkie is an asterisk developer that doesn't really work for us. He's just kind of hanging out.
Well, I want to hang out at Digium. I want to be cool like them.
Well, cool. Well, just come on down. It's pretty cool.
So, yes, we have all kinds of people this evening, which... going to talk about... It's going to be rather free-flowing. The original rule of the episode was going to be, you know, we're going to try to stay away from asterisk and stay away from game, but...
Yeah, because for those of you who don't know who Mark Spencer is, shame on you, but for those of you who don't know who Mark Spencer is, he is the original author of both asterisk and game, and I figured, hey, let's bring him on here, but since all he ever talks about everywhere else is just asterisk and game, let's talk about something which isn't either of those two. And so the original intent, yes, is to try and do something which isn't asterisk in game. So we'll start off on that, and then we'll see what happens.
Judging from how we were talking before the show, it quickly devolved into asterisk game and voiceover IP. So
yeah,
we don't know what actually happened, but it may happen.
Oh, and by the way, we are live tonight, so if you if you guys are listening and you want to call in with your questions, our call-in number from the continental U.S., I think maybe from Alaska and Hawaii, is 888-9-BINREV, 888-9-BINREV. And if you're calling from outside the United States, you can reach us by calling area code 213, country code 1, area code 213-415-1047.
And
we also have a new surprise for those of you listening live in the U.K.,
all three of you. Because why are you listening to the show at 2:30 a.m.? You're pretty hardcore if you're doing that. But
there are dedicated hardcore fans.
Do you have the number, or shall I?
I think you have the number. I don't have it in front of me.
Okay, I didn't know if you had it. The UK call-in line, graciously donated by Sasser who donated it, is a 0845-646-0102. So 0845-646-0102. And he was very courteous to give us one of his spare DIDs. And hey, if you guys use it and he needs to call it for something else, we may just actually get a real UK phone and number for all your phoning in needs from the United Kingdom. The one request that we do, if you do call in, this is not a show to diagnose your extensions.com for your musiconhold.com for how do I park calls? Or
yeah. No asterisk ask. Troubleshooting, no tech support. This is our 90-minute show. Let's not ruin it. We have the lovely, talented Dr. Zygmunt answering and screening our calls tonight. So hello, Zygmunt, wherever you are on the other end of our voice line.
Actually, Zygmunt's probably kicking himself because he didn't get the answer. He's not going to get to ask all the questions he wanted to.
Well,
he was the one who was complaining about his lug meeting that everyone was talking to Mark about their extensions.com.
Oh yeah, sure, I'm sure Mark can tell us that story from his point of view too.
Yeah, true. Yeah, that's considering that he's right there.
Well, I don't know. I mean, you go to different trade shows and you get different kinds of questions that, mm-hmm. that people tend to ask you. So there are a lot of them that it's kind of cool to get some technical questions every now and then when I'm in that environment, because a lot of times, you kind of get the same standard set of questions. Actually, one of the coolest shows that I've been to recently was the Emerging Telephony Conference.
The one up in San Francisco recently.
Yeah, exactly. And what really sort of set it apart was that, I've always said, if you build an open source, Asterisk platform, then, there'll be lots of people that'll come up with creative new applications for doing cool stuff with it. And at Emerging Telephony, it was cool to actually get to see that there were people doing cool applications, like this guy that had the setup so that you could pay for parking via your phone, putting in your credit card number and having little sensors underneath the car that detect when you drive away, and then it sends you an SMS with your bill. That was the Spark Parking people.
Ooh, that's neat.
So, yeah, it was pretty clever. And then there were some things where you could, leave these little audio blogs with a little sticker. So if you walked by somewhere and you had a story about it, you could just leave this sticker that had a unique number on it. And then people could call a main number and then enter in that sticker's number and then hear your story about that place.
That sounds cool.
I'm agreed to implementation stuff, but I just never have ideas, and I can't think of these fun, exciting things. I'm just a boring techie person, I guess.
You boring techie person, you?
Yes. And look at that—we're already talking about Asterisk. Boy, that didn't take long.
So, how about this? Since this is rapidly devolving into nonsense, let's get into our email theme. Don't you think?
I think that's a good idea. So, go right ahead.
Our first email tonight is from Anonymous. And Anonymous writes, "Dear BinRev Radio, episode 132 was quite enjoyable. You guys are doing a great job. Regarding Hawaiian Telecom, Verizon Hawaii was purchased by the Carlyle Group, a loving, caring, multinational conglomerate. Verizon Wireless and Federal Services were not part of the transaction. Again, great job."
Anonymous.
Anonymous, yes.
Ooh. We got anonymous people sneaking on here.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. I did some search on this for a completely different reason. I think right after the episode aired, I was looking at phoneswarm.com. For those of you who don't know, it's basically a website that profiles a different payphone that takes phone calls every week or so. It's a different payphone every couple of weeks or so, and the goal is just get as many people as humanly possible to call it, and just, talk to random people who answer it. It's very interesting. So phoneswarm.com, they're fun. They actually link to Yapple, so I can plug them for that. And they actually profiled this phone in Hawaii, and I was adding it over into Yapple because that's what I like to do. And I couldn't remember if it was Hawaii or Hawaiian Telecom. So I Googled the hell out of it, and I actually did find out all about the Carlyle Group and Verizon Hawaii and all this approval nonsense and everyone complaining that they're going to lose their telephone and everything's going to be horrible. But so far, so good. I don't know. You were right on the money. Interesting stuff. Thank you so much for giving that information. And also, I just wanted to say to this anonymous person, thanks for the compliment. You did sign anonymous, but I did see who it came from, and I'd just like to say thank you. It means a lot coming from someone like you.
Anonymous to our listeners, but not to the host.
Yes, exactly. We know who you are.
We know what you did last weekend.
I actually know I didn't.
Last Tuesday, anyway. We know what you did last Tuesday, yes.
I don't think it was last Tuesday. You probably was listening in the archives, I assume. Maybe you listened live. Hey, if you're listening, call on in. We'll just give you a shout there.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Hey, all right. Our next email is from Ill Omen, and he writes, I assume it's a he, Dear Black Ratchet and Strom Carlson, I've been... Hello?
Ooh, you know it's a bad sign? You know, okay. You know it's a bad sign when, like, Digium just goes quiet on you.
Ooh. Yeah. Well,
no, that's because I've got to run a quick test here, and so I was meeting you so you wouldn't have to hear all this testing stuff.
Okay. Well, the background noise went away, and I'm like, ah, what happened?
Comfort noise! Is that the comfort noise? He's not feeling comfortable enough! Sorry, okay. That's the Grawls talking, never mind.
Dear Black Ratchet and Strom Carlson, I've been listening to the show for just over a month now, and I love it. Though I haven't had the chance to catch you all live yet, I hope to in the future. During episode 127, Virtual Studio 2005 Does Not Suck, you all, Black Ratchet Not Theory, talked about several phones including the Sidekick, Q-Tech 8010, iMate SP3, and the now-released Trio 700 and have a few questions. Okay. 1. What's your thoughts on the BlackBerry device? 2. What's your love-hate relationship with the Sidekick? 3. I've been thinking more on the Trio 650 or the Trio 700, both specifically on the developmental features, the Trio 650 Java, Trio 700.net. For someone who tends to move from country to country, which would you recommend? I don't want to have to purchase a new cell phone every time I move to a new country. 4. Overall, what is your all-time favorite cell phone? Sincerely, Ill Omen.
Well, I fired this question off the Knot Theory, but he's in the middle of some real-life things right now, so he couldn't answer it, I guess, because he hasn't emailed me back yet. Unless he emailed me recently, but I haven't checked it yet. But I will attempt to answer your questions as best as I can. Number one, your BlackBerry question. BlackBerrys are nice. I talked to Natus, my resident BlackBerry expert, or our resident BlackBerry expert. He said... And I quote, overall, I think it fucking rocks, and I don't want any other device, unquote. He then went on to say, apparently, that in CDMA, if you receive data and a voice call at the same time, the CDMA gives a voice to the data, gives data the priority. So basically, the call would instantly drop to voicemail while you were doing some type of data things. I don't know exactly how that works. He says that may have been fixed in the new version of the software, which is version 4.1, apparently. He also said if he had to find some type of fault with it, he said he didn't like the free Secure Shell client that it comes with, but the one that cost $90 rocks, apparently, which I don't understand how anyone can charge $90 for a Secure Shell client, but we won't get into that.
$90.
Yeah, I know. Tell me about it.
It's crazy.
And the browser, the web browser, compared to the Sidekick / HipTop, sucks. As for number two, which was the love-hate relationship with the Sidekick, both Knot Theory and now myself as well, I'm totally not digging the fact that the HipTop development process is locked up tighter than a drum. In order to develop on it, you need to get a developer's key, which is, I'm not exactly sure what it is entirely. I've never actually seen it.
It's just a string of numbers.
It is?
Yeah, there's like something you plug into your phone, and there's some you download a different version of the software, and I forget exactly what, but...
Actually, I could talk to one of my friends. Apparently, he was a developer for the Color Sidekick. He signed up for their development program, which was apparently very easy to get into during the Color Sidekick, but when the Sidekick 2 came out, that's when they started cracking down on it because people started really messing with it. And
yeah, one of my friends who used to work for Danger actually gave me a developer key, but I never used it because I wasn't sure whether or not... I think I had just switched phones, and I wasn't sure whether the radio software was working correctly, and I didn't want to void the warranty or whatever.
Hey, Strom, you still got that key? Hey.
Yeah. Well, no, the thing is, I think it's tied to your device's IMEI now that I've replaced the phone. I don't think it's going to work anymore.
Oh, that sucks. But as stated, it sucks. It's incredibly horrible. You have to sign your soul over to them with the official one. I guess if you know someone who works at Danger, it's kind of easier.
Mm-hmm.
And also, if you do become a developer, you can't release your software unless it's through Danger, the manufacturer, or the cell phone provider, like T-Mobile or Suncom or whatever your cell phone provider is. Now, if we compare this to, say, like a Windows mobile phone, like, or I assume BlackBerries are like this as well, although I'm not sure. Basically, I can bang out a program after the show tonight, put it up on my website by midnight, and at 12:01, as soon as it's done uploading, you can grab it and install it on your Windows mobile phone, and it'll, you know, everyone will enjoy it and use it, and I'll become a hero, and I'll be more famous than Mark Spencer. It's basically, the process is annoying, and basically, I never really started noticing it. I mean, Not Theory pointed this out a year ago, and I just was never really into the whole mobile development thing, but when I started really messing around with Visual Studio 2005 and mobile development and just really mucking about with it, it was like, wow, I really wish I could do this on my Sidekick. But no such luck.
Number three.
As for number three, about the whole international country thing, I don't know. Ask Verizon. I don't think CDMA is supported at all over in Europe or any other foreign country.
I know the Sidekick, actually, you can take it to every country. I looked at it. It's tri-band GSM.
Well, yeah, but I mean GSM, but I believe the current, or at least the 700W that's released now is... Mm-hmm. Whatever it is, it's CDMA only. I could be wrong.
Yeah, no,
there's one that's coming out with GSM. It's coming out with Edge, and that's what they're trying to push for it. But who cares? Yeah. I don't know. Talk to Verizon. I don't think it'll support it, but I'm not going to go on either way on this. I think if you might get a Trio 650, it could be supported better, because I think some of those support GSM, but as of now, the 700s I believe only support CDMA. Number four, favorite cell phone. I like my Sidekick, mainly because it's the best one that I've used, because it has all the PDA stuff in it, and it's got a very bitchin' form factor. The phone that I previously had was a Nokia 5165.
The candy bar really, phone.
Dude, those things rocked.
Oh, yeah.
I love those. Those are like a nice... Those are very nice, just like, it felt like a phone you were using it. The only thing I didn't like about it is that if you, like, over, like, a year, the battery would start to become so loose you couldn't use it anymore.
Yeah, I hated that.
Yeah, and I went to, like, two batteries, and it really drove me batty. My also personal other favorite phone is one of the original Motorola StarTacs. They just have a very nice tactile feel to them. And
I had one of those in the late 90s on the analog Verizon network.
Yeah, I don't think they ever made digital ones, did they?
No, they did. They certainly did make digital StarTacs.
Oh, really? Oh,
yeah.
I didn't know that. Only the ones that I've seen were analog. So I guess if they're digital, I guess you can use them, but good luck finding them now. I don't think you'll really find any.
Well, I think also the major carriers are all moving away from TDMA in the first place. So.
Oh, true. Yeah, they're all TDMA, aren't they? Yeah, that's what I was thinking of. Strom, what's your favorite cell phone?
You know, I'm with you, Ratchet. I love my Sidekick. What's interesting is my philosophy on phones for the longest times has been, you know, simple as possible. I don't need any extra features, except in the case of the Sidekick, where it's all really integrated really well and the interface makes sense and it's just really easy to use. It's the only problem I have with the Sidekick is A, no Bluetooth, and B, dialing is a smidge awkward.
Yeah, dialing's annoying.
But
the Bluetooth does occasionally grab. Yeah.
Yeah. But apart from that, I mean, it's amazing. I can't wait to see what they do with the third generation, or the Sidekick 3, not necessarily third generation.
I don't know. Personally, I'm going to seriously consider looking for whenever I get my next new phone, which will probably be in about a year or two, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to look at something that's Windows mobile based, or Windows smartphone. And I'm sure people are cringing right now in the audience, but who cares?
I can just hear that. Windows! Ew!
Yeah. Mark, what do you use for a cell phone? There's a question that's interesting. If he's still there, he's still running his diagnostics. Mark! Wow, our guest switches were dropped off the map.
Oh no.
Is anybody there at Digium? Over.
Yeah. Okay, I'm back. I'm trying hard. Okay. So the question was, which phone do I use?
Yeah, which cell phone do you have?
I use the Nokia 3650, also known as the birth control dispenser phone, because of its unusual arrangement of buttons on the bottom.
Oh yeah, it's got a like the numbers are arranged 1 to 0 in a circle.
Mm.
Right.
But not in the same place you'd expect to find them on a rotary phone. So that's like.
That is correct.
Well,
it kind of sucks, and I have to say I also have a very surprising tendency to drop my phone.
True.
Like,
yeah. My color sidekick one. I don't think they actually ever called it one. Was remarkably tough. I dropped it like, you know, 2 or 3 times from when my holster started to go for that I had on my belt, and it would fall out and hit the pavement. And there were some good gouges on there, but it continued ticking up until the end. So I gotta say it was pretty tough.
Yeah, I just had mine replaced because it stopped charging and started shorting out, and I am treating this thing like a baby. So far, I haven't dropped it yet. I haven't even scratched it.
I haven't dropped mine without it not being in the case, so that's what I'll say that as.
Next email?
Do you want to take a break from email? Because we have a call that's been waiting for a little bit.
Yeah, why don't we take this call? Let me go grab this call, and you talk for a second.
Oh, yeah. I love when you just sort of drop off here and have to brother screen the phone call. So do you find the 3650 awkward to dial, or did you just have to get used to it?
Even as long as I've had it, it's still somewhat awkward to dial, but the biggest problem is that it's very difficult to send SMS messages while you're driving a stick shift using that phone.
I would think that sending SMS messages while driving a stick shift would be difficult with any phone.
It's just especially difficult with that phone.
All right, we have Lord Drakenblut on the line.
Hey, how's it going, gentlemen?
Hello.
Pretty good.
Hello. Doing well. You had some questions for Mark, didn't you?
Yes. I was curious what the coolest hack you've seen using Asterisk has been.
Ooh, that's a tough one.
Ooh, deep mystery time with Mark Spencer.
Yeah,
should we play the unsolved mystery theme?
The finger motions here. Sort of the Dr. Evil. The parking thing was kind of cool. The whole idea of, like, leaving little stickers and being able to call in is kind of cool. There's some people that have done some voice changers for Asterisk so that you can call somebody and change your voice, which is a heck of a lot neater than all these silly forge your caller ID stuff. what else? There's just a lot. I mean, the parking thing was cool. Someone had made Zork work using Sphinx 2 and Festival. I wouldn't say it was flawless, but it was still kind of cool that they tried it.
Wait a minute. Does this mean someone actually got Sphinx 2 working on Asterisk?
Well, not exactly. What they did was they just how can I describe this? They recorded what you said and then used the options for the record so that when you stopped talking it would just finish the recording, and then they would run an AGI script which processed that using Sphinx, and then came up with a response, which was then they called, I think they used either Festival or Kestrel to then re-render the audio to send back to you in a prompt.
I gotta say that's a pretty good hack right there. I'm gonna actually look into that. That's pretty neat. That was a good idea. I would not have thought of that.
Lots of people would not have thought of that.
Yes, for those of you who don't know, Sphinx 2 is a voice recognition technology. And it's open source, I believe.
Thinx2 is, yes. Now, I haven't actually used it, so I don't know how well.
I tried to get it working with Asterisk and failed miserably, but then I felt good when I actually started researching it and found out that no one has gotten working with Asterisk. Or, like, one person in southern Indonesia.
Yeah, I haven't tried it yet. What we should really do is, like, I should get on my friend at Tell Me Networks and get him to give me some sort of access to their voice recognition stuff.
They should open source Tell Me.
Yeah. So, hey, when are you going to open source Tell Me? What?
So, do we have any other questions, Lord Dracula? Whatever it is? I'm sorry, Dragon, I can't pronounce your name.
Blood? Blood.
That's okay. A lot of people have problems with it. The other one is, where could I dig up some information on that audio blog the guy's running? I've been wanting to hook up something like that similar, and if I could track down some information on it, it'd make my life a little easier.
It was at NYU. I don't remember their URL, but they've got a special program there, which I'm trying to remember the name of now, which is basically, they called it a study program for the recently possible, which I thought was kind of an interesting description.
Mm-hmm.
There were some other projects there, like one called GumSpots, where they have it set up so that you can send, take a picture of the sidewalk around NYU with your cell phone, and it will use the location of the gum spots to identify where you are.
Oh, interesting.
Wow. That's
wow.
But that one didn't involve Asterisk. But I don't remember the name of this other one.
Well, what we can do is we can either search for it and have it towards the end of the show, or we can just announce it on next week's show. So
yeah,
we can actually have some real honest to goodness housekeeping. Holy God!
Yeah, instead of just like, yeah, I beat off 6 times this week, and
yeah, we don't. You know, I don't want to know that.
La 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 la.
Only 6? Oh, come on! You're slacking, man.
Yeah, yeah. Usually
9 in the last hour.
Usually more like 14. Anyway, what's any other questions for Mark? Or for us?
I was just curious on your guys' take, I guess, of one of the hacks I saw used in Asterisk, where a guy could call his Asterisk box, it would dump his call him back, and then dump him to a dial tone, to where he gets free calling through his cell.
That's actually surprisingly common. That's called a callback. I think more the X10 stuff and Dial MP3 is a little more unusual, but callback systems have actually existed for a fairly long time and surprisingly actually predate Asterisk.
Cool.
Well, it's become a lot more. I mean, a lot of the stuff that you do with Asterisk is new to a lot of people because a lot of people just didn't have the platform to do this ever. I mean, it's allowed a lot of people to really level the playing field with, they don't need to, like, you know, drop, like, $2,000 on this killer PBX system that can do all this. It's, you know, I have a Linux box, I have a network connection, ooh, let's go get into VoIP. Which is basically how I got into Asterisk, which was really scary.
I'd have to say, Asterisk has definitely sparked my interest in freaking, so I'd have to definitely say thanks for that, for opening a new realm of interest for me.
Okay.
Cool.
There's no right answer to that. There's no good answer to that, so I'm just going to not say anything.
Don't tell me Mark Spencer doesn't like phone freaks.
I wouldn't quite go that far, but there are certain things that, let's see. I'm certainly not a proponent of stealing service. So, yeah, I suppose I could go there.
Most of the stuff that I see it with, it's the person I was helping out with this actually just this week, he has a free inbound on his Nextel. So what he wanted to do is just, you know, call a phone number, have it hang up, and then have it call him back so he gets free incoming, which technically isn't stealing.
Right.
You're just being
right. So I have no problem with people who find clever ways to utilize services that they have appropriately, you know, paid for and negotiated. Right. I mean, that's, if you think about it, voice over IP is a lot of that is really about doing toll bypass. It's just,
yep.
I mean, I think when people say phone phreakers, sometimes that, you know, I guess people think of more like blue boxes and, you know, systems like that where you're discovering vulnerabilities within the telephone network.
Wow, so we got heavy and deep here with Mark Spencer on Bin Rev Radio.
Yeah. Sorry, I feel like I was a little downer, you know.
Oh, no, I mean, everyone's entitled to their opinion. I mean, it's you're very much in line, I think, with most of the other people who are listening, so it's no big deal.
It's kind of like
don't feel like you're a horrible person. Hmm?
Yeah, it's kind of like the term hacker. It's just been kind of it's been damaged to the point that, you know, I can't even go out and call myself a hacker because people misunderstand what that means. Sort of getting back on / off topic, you know, Keops was one of my other programs that I wrote that never really gained a lot of traction and got a maintainer, but it isn't in several books, but it is apparently called a hacker tool, even though that was not what it was intended to be. I mean, it was intended to be a cool tool for discovering your network. But, of course, mm-hmm. you can also use it to discover random networks, especially back in 98 before firewalls were particularly prevalent.
Oh, God, I remember when, like, you know, there was basically just this giant, just vast expanse where everyone just had no clue about security. It was amazing. Just the stuff that the internet has become. We are kind of drifting. So we're drifting on topic, but we're drifting off topic from email. So let's just address the last two emails that we have right now.
Ed, while you're doing that, I'm going to try an experiment. If I lose you, I'll call right back.
Okay. Look at that. We're doing asterisk hacking right on the radio show. That's how hardcore Mark is.
All right.
Thanks, Lord. Lord
all right, gentlemen.
Thank you for calling in.
You have a good day.
You too. Have a good
Bye.
Evening, man.
Yes. All right. To be honest, he was very quiet. I didn't even know he was still there.
Yeah. Well,
seriously, if you're on the talk, just feel free to talk in. You don't need to. You can interject. You can talk. You can do whatever you want. I mean, we're very when you're calling in, you're very much an equal. Don't just think you have to sit back and listen.
Oh yeah.
Just interject, talk. You know, you just interact with the show. That's what the call in is for.
Mm-hmm. All right, email is from Stack Smasher, and he says, I used to love it when you played stank audio drops like Nothing Wrong with a Protein Shot to the Face, Yakety Yak Yak Balls, and my personal favorite, E Motherfucking Leet. Thanks, and keep up the good work, Stack Smasher.
Well, Stack Smasher, you know, do you want us to do that some more? I mean, we're always looking for new stank sounds. Mainly, you know, much to the chagrin of stank, I would assume. You know, hell, if you want, make your own soundboard of just clips from the show. You know, if you really want to have, you know, Strom and I and, you know, various forms of guests, you know, Dr. Zygmunt, Knot Theory, whoever, just hack them on up, hack the shows up, and email them on in. You know, just the one thing that we do request is don't send it to radio@binrev.com. Just email them directly to me, and that would be blackratchet@blackratchet.org.
Or stromcarlson@gmail.com.
Oh yeah, or Strom Carlson. Yeah, I didn't even think of that. Yeah,
love you.
We can both handle larger attachments than radioopenrev.com can. So please, Kay, thanks.
Yeah. So guys, since Allison, by the way, I talked to her and she couldn't call in. I do have some new Allison prompts that have just gone in Astro Sounds that I thought I could share with the group. So whenever you want me to insert a random Allison sound, just let me know.
All right, cool. All right. Yeah. We'll do two more emails, and then we have a caller holding on the line. So,
okay,
let's see. Hello.
Or if you want, just fire the random stuff back in.
Our next email is from someone named F, and he says, "Hello, Bin Revolutionaries. Your show brings me great joy on a weekly basis. The most interesting aspect, apart from hearing the insults and puns, is discovering new and old programs with an in-depth perspective. I wanted to tell you this in person, so I tried your call-in line from a Canadian payphone to test out your number yesterday while waiting for the bus. It sounds like it won't go through from here unless your number is only active during your showtime. Can you guys get a Skype or other form of VoIP access to call in? See you at Hope Number 6 this summer. F. Well, okay.
Strom, I think this is thoroughly in your jurisdiction, so
yeah.
I'll just let you answer this one.
The 888 number does not work from Canada. That's why we have the 213 number for you guys to call in. I'll actually fetch it my IP provider and see if I can't get them to open it up to calls from Canada. And as far as a VoIP call-in, I guess I can experiment with those, but I guess what I'll end up doing is we'll have, like, the main call-in number for our listeners in the continental U.S., and then we'll have a page you can go to see all the other call-in numbers or all the other call-in options.
We should, like, get, like, a call-in number from, like, every country. We should get, like, one from... Because there's free DID providers in, like, all kinds of crazy countries in Europe.
If you're in Azerbaijan, call...
Well, like, how many does... You know who we're talking about, with the guy, the man with the 15 numbers. I guess we can drop his name on the air. You know, how many numbers does Bill have on his computer?
Oh, I forget how many numbers Bill has.
Yeah, he has like... A friend that we know has about... I gotta say, he has probably around 20 free DIDs on his asterisk box. And it's from... He has, like, stuff from Italy... He has a number from Poland, one from Germany. I believe he actually has one from the UK, if I'm not mistaken. But just he has like phone numbers from everywhere. It's amazing what kind of DIDs you can get. So I assume one from Canada has to be around there from someplace. Our wonderful neighbors from the north.
Oh yes. All right. Next one. Hey guys, I have two things to say. In the chemistry portion of episode 133, you mentioned Br. It's bromine. It becomes bromide when it forms a compound with a metal element. That is called binary molecular compound because it consists of two elements. That chemistry teacher, my chemistry teacher, is great. I suspect that he is an alcoholic because he has a box of Smirnoff in his room. Nice.
Woohoo, Smirnoff!
I like Grey Goose, but... Anyway, on episode 132, you guys mentioned a Yugo. It was very out of context, but I was surprised that anyone outside of Eastern Europe would know about them. Of course, I know about them because I grew up in Eastern Europe, and my family actually had one. It was a pretty good car. I also have one question. I have heard that some people give away hardware such as hard drives, servers, cameras, etc. for people in the scene. Do you know if anyone is interested in donating hardware to people who do free media, such as your show, Hack TV, or my show, Broken Floppy TV? If so, can you please hook me up with some links? Thanks, guys. Keep up the great work. Not signed.
I've heard of you. I think you've heard of a Yugo, right? Haven't you, Strom?
I think I actually saw one on the street in Vegas one time.
I've never actually seen one in person. But
well, if you want to see what they look like, go rent Drowning Muna.
Yes, that's the only place I have ever seen one. I've seen it in that movie. I wasn't going to admit watching it, but I guess if you brought it up, it's okay. I've never actually seen one in person, but they're very infamous for just sucking. They're sort of like, you know, the Eastern European version of the Pinto. if I remember correctly, I was making the case that basically I just think I made the case that something sucked, and I used the Yugo as a comparison tool. Still, people have heard about them. It's not too uncommon.
Yeah, they were sold in the U.S. from like 86 until the early 90s, I think.
Yeah.
Exploded.
They did explode, didn't they? I think they did. They definitely weren't known for their fine workmanship. As for the free stuff, personally, I would recommend the free stuff portion of Craigslist. That would be Craigslist.org, and you can go to your various. It's basically an online WAD ad, and if you haven't heard of Craigslist, you know, come out of your cave.
Craigslist.org.
Yeah, it's all over the news now. Everyone's there, and it's really sad because it's really going downhill. But we won't get into that. Since it's free, it won't be grade A material, but it still will be free. So, free is good, right? Dumpster diving is always overlooked when people want free stuff. Just keep an eye out at company dumpsters, colleges, your CS department at your school. Dumpster diving is always a good place to find stuff. It's going to need some tender loving care, but You can definitely do it. I mean, I picked up a nice little Deck Alpha out of my university and various forms of other pieces of interesting hardware that I really don't remember much about now, but at the time they were very cool. Of course, this was 1999 or so.
Yeah. Well, I love I love using the free stuff section when I have something that is too nice to dump but too crappy to sell, and I don't want to take it all the way down to Goodwill, so I just put it on Craigslist, and then they come to me. It's awesome.
Yes.
All right. Okay. We've got...
I always do the Salvation Army route myself, but I don't think we have a Goodwill up here.
Hmm.
See, what's your caller?
The Goodwill is closer to me than the Salvation Army. So, anyway, we have MD Cowboy on the line. Hello, MD Cowboy.
Hello, Strom, and yeah.
So you had a question for Mark, didn't you?
Yes, I was wondering. Do you get down and dirty with Asterisk in game, or do you just lead it, or what?
Well, I haven't worked on games since, like, 98, 99 as a developer. But I do still do development on Asterisk, certainly. I do a lot of the driver stuff. I still do some of the features. I did the video voicemail stuff most recently, added support for H.264, and did a bunch of Meet Me stuff. And a lot of people don't know it, but I'm actually very involved in the design of the Digium hardware, too. So, like, the TDM2400 was sort of my brainchild.
Yeah, I remember you told me about that card, like, months before it came out, and I wasn't allowed to tell a soul.
That's right.
So, wait, you do hardware hacking, too?
Yeah. Yeah, but mainly digital stuff. I'm not really an analog guy. So... My hardware designs tend to be very indicative of the fact that I'm a computer programmer, because they tend to be very software-centric. And I'm a big fan of VHDL and use it very extensively to really do sort of odd things.
I'm sorry to say I have no clue what the heck you're talking about. VHDL?
VHDL is this hardware description language, and there's also Verilog, which is also very popular, kind of a Python versus Perl kind of thing. Basically, it lets you describe a circuit in something that looks sort of like a programming language, and then use special parts called CPLDs or FPGAs, and then it creates this digital circuit that you've described inside of the part.
Ooh, I'm going to look into that. Maybe I can design hardware. Maybe there's hope for me yet. just sort of make it as a programming language, and you can do it.
Well, I've been working on my solder foo recently, so.
Yeah.
I can't solder for the life of me.
I never used to be able to. I guess it's a learned art.
I don't have steady hands. That's my issue.
Ooh, yeah.
That'll
kill you. Didn't you have another question, Cowboy, about...
Please listen carefully, as absolutely none of our options have changed.
I couldn't resist.
Yes,
there was a moment of silence, and I thought I would break it.
Nice. Very nice.
Okay, Cowboy, I'm sorry, go ahead. What was your other question?
Yes, my other question was, since you do actually do programming, I suppose you use some kind of Linux distribution. I was wondering what you use.
Oh, you're going to be so disappointed. I can already tell. I hope you're sitting down for this. I am a proud Fedora user, and I'm about the only technical person at Digium that runs Fedora. Everybody else basically runs Debian or Gentoo or something other than Fedora, but I'm pretty much a Fedora person.
Yeah, I tried that Fedora junk. That's all I can say.
Well, no, Bill uses Fedora too, so
yeah, well, he does.
He's pretty Linuxy, so.
Well, the thing that Gentoo is real popular here, and when I was in London, I took out the bunch of Gentoo developers, and we got rather trashed on not very much sleep. But anyway, So, you know, I have nothing against Gentoo, but personally, if I'm watching something compile, it better be asterisk, Zaptel, or libpri. You know what I mean? Those are the things that I want to be watching compile.
So are like the Red Hat asterisk, Fedora RPMs for asterisk, like bleeding edge because you're just constantly checking it out of CVS and compiling it?
No, I'm not really involved in any of the packaging. I just use it as my desktop. Another sort of bizarre thing, those of you who have ever used any of my graphical applications know that I always write code in using GTK, and that's because I am a big C fan and not a particularly big fan of C++. But I actually do run KDE as my desktop.
Really? See, that's something I didn't expect.
Yes. So I run my I love writing GTK apps and running them under KDE. So
you just like pain, don't you?
Yeah.
Like Fedora. You like running GTK under KDE. Hey, maybe we can bring him to the bondage ball this weekend in Los Angeles.
Oh,
I can bring that cat up there.
The cat of 25 pair, yeah. Yeah, I'll bring my cat of 25 pair.
Oh man. So you heard it here for us. Not only does Mark Spencer run Fedora, he also runs KDE, but develops GTK apps under it.
That's correct.
These are the good questions. These are good questions right here. How do I make asterisk answer my phone?
Oh, hey Mark, how do I make asterisk answer my phone?
Yeah, I knew that was coming.
Nah, I'm just kidding. All right, cool. Do you have any more questions for us?
You buy Digium tech support. Wink, wink.
Do you have any more questions for us or for Mark, MD Cowboy?
Not really.
Well, sweet.
Right.
Well, hey, what does the MD stand for in your name? I have a question for you.
Well, yeah, I was kind of thinking about that, too. I don't know. It's kind of like modern-day cowboy because I live out in the country on a farm and whatnot.
I thought you were a giant mini-disc fan.
I'd rather go with the CD, but and I like Mountain Dew. So
I just got this image of him now, riding on one of those automatic fucking Bronco things and going yeehaw, 8-track 3.
Actually,
while drinking Mountain Dew.
When I was at Linux World out in, I guess it was in San Francisco, the last one, I was amazed to see that there was a company there that had like a 20 by 20, and there was not actually a booth. All there was a mechanical bull and some pliers.
That was Black Dog.
Yeah, it was Black Dog. But I guess it worked because Matt remembers them.
Hey, that's what it is. I mean, that's what marketing is right there.
Mm-hmm. You got to get people to remember you.
Yeah. Well, we'll give MD a nice little prompt here, you know, so for thanks.
All our agents are busy reprogramming the phone system to make sure you can never actually reach them.
I love that one.
Asterisk is fun.
I didn't even remember that.
We gotta send that clip Hello Noobs back to Jim.
Oh man.
That would be awesome.
Yeah. Oh no, I don't think I ever told you this, Mark. During our asterisk talk at DEF CON, we had a demonstration of the different ways you can get voice prompts into asterisk. So we had the three ways were record them yourself, do some sort of text to speech, or have Allison Smith record them for you. So we had kind of like the, what was it, the Speak and Say?
I called it Speak and Say AGI.
Yeah, Speak and Say AGI. So the first one, it says, Black Ratchet. Yeah. So the first one, it goes, Black Ratchet says,
asterisk is cool.
Yeah. No, I think it's asterisk is fun. Yeah.
Asterisk is fun, or something?
Yeah.
I don't know.
And then the second one says, Kestrel says, oh, baby, give it to me. Yes. 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 And the third one is, Allison Smith says, hello, noobs.
I'm trying to find it. I used to have it. Yeah, but actually, one of my ideas was actually I always wanted to make a Kestrel sex hotline. And they'll have, like, you know, 1-800-KESTREL.
Oh, no. It's like just IM based.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, you know, they've actually just released a new version of their stuff, and we're hoping to have some official Asterisk packages of it soon. So, but they've got some new voices in there. They've got a Whisper voice and something else. They have some other new voices that are available, so. That's cool.
Awesome. Well, hey, MD Cowboy, thanks for calling in.
Indeed.
This is his, your first time listening, isn't it?
Oh, yes, it actually is. I'm kind of new around this BenRev website.
Awesome. Well, we hope you're... Yeah.
Where are you located, if you don't mind saying?
I am in Indiana.
Sweet.
Okay, cool.
Gary, Indiana.
So we're in Alabama.
Alabama.
Yeah. That's what everybody says.
Almost bad as Indiana.
Hello, noobs.
There we go.
You gotta send me that. That's awesome.
Yes, well, we're gonna. I have to ask someone permission because that's where I get it from. And I just like to send shouts out to Doug once again for
yes.
sending that to me.
Thank you, Doug. Well, sweet. Thank you, MD Cowboy. Thank you for calling in. Hope to hear more from you in the future.
Yeah.
Sweet. Have a good evening, man.
Yeah, man. You too. See ya.
See ya.
See ya.
All right. So, we're moving on to personal hacking stories now.
Is the other person still there, or
which other person? Oh, on the call-in number.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let me take a look. Well, I guess you guys talk amongst yourselves for the time being.
Yes.
I'll give you a topic. A guinea pig is neither a guinea nor a pig.
Thank you, Strom. Yes. The entire point of the Hello Noobs was Doug wanted to get Allison Smith to say that, and basically he had to come down, write out the text, and then had to write it out all phonetically for her, which was very interesting on my thing, because, you know, we're just used to all saying all these type of crazy terminology, but when actually you get someone who's not used to speaking it, it's kind of interesting talking about it. But Allison Smith is what... came through and recorded this wonderful intro for the voice bridge that we were on. That was running on Asterisk.
Cool.
Yes, and apparently Strom is interviewing the heck out of these people.
Yeah, I guess that other caller hung up.
Oh, what a shame.
All right. Hey, personal hacking stories time. We're, like, never going to get to our main topic. We're already, like, almost an hour in. We're only on personal hacking.
Well, this is sort of very... We're getting call-ins. This is sort of like, you know, free-flowing with Mark Spencer and the rest of the elite Digium crew.
Mm. Yeah.
You guys are so 31,337, it's not even funny. So.
You will be connected with the next available agent. However, if they don't feel the connection, don't expect it to work out.
I love Allison.
Yeah, and she will say everything. Except for one word.
Well, except for one word.
For one word, yeah.
There is one word.
All right, Strom, what have you been doing this week?
Oh, boy, I have been playing with my new logic analyzer.
You have a logic analyzer?
Yeah, I bought a logic analyzer, a USB logic analyzer that I've been using to... analyze the connections between a smart card and its reader. So that's been kind of a fun learning experience. It's like I've never used a logic analyzer before, so I've been kind of bashing my head against the wall trying to figure it out.
Last time I used a logic analyzer was 2002 when I was in college, and I still don't know how to use it. So, Professor Butler, you had no clue about anything.
Last time I used a logic analyzer was... last night, actually. About 3. Yeah, but I have
on the HP one. HPs are nice.
Yeah.
I've
ever made, actually. The best buy we've ever made was we bought, like, a color HP logic analyzer off of eBay for, like, $350.
it's like $50,000 new or something like that. It's like unbelievable.
That's a pretty good steal.
Awesome. Yeah, oh yeah, and after we got it, we found out that it actually can connect up to an X Windows server. And like you can run it entirely remotely.
Oh, sweet.
Awesome. They are working on something in the lab, like, you know, next building. You can safely do it from your office.
So when you have that bomb coming in, you know, you can just sort of hook up the logic analyzer to it, then pull up an X-term from across the street.
Well, yeah, something like that.
Just roll with it, man. Just roll with it.
Thanks to our friends at the NSA, this call may be recorded or monitored in the interests of national security.
These are going into the asterisk distribution, right?
They're already in. They're in the asterisk sounds out of SBN trunk. And
oh, I am so grabbing them right after the show.
Yeah.
I feel another one coming on. Yeah.
Well, it's pretty much whenever there's silence, but I'm trying to like. Let us have conversation in between so they're not totally, like, you know, just one after another. So they fill in for the not funny enough.
So, Mark, what have you been messing around with this week in your personal stuff?
In my personal stuff?
I don't know.
Well,
that might get
so blurred between work and play.
Just doesn't leave.
I rarely leave the office, yeah.
Yeah, every time I talk to him, I pull up his webcam, and it's like, you're at the office?
Yeah. I'm like,
you're in the conference room. You can't look at your office right now. Darn it. I thought it'd be cool that everyone can, like, look at the Mark Spencer webcam right now and see him live on the radio.
Well, I can walk in there, but the phone would have to stay. Oh, wait, no, I can do it. Hold on.
Wait, is he walking in there now?
Yes, he's in there.
So, actually, what's the URL? I don't even know.
MarcoCam.com. MarcoCam.com, yeah.
MarcoCam.com. There he is. I see the side of his body.
Yep. I'm right here. Woo!
There he is.
Yeah, be sure to change the face on the robot.
Let me recenter it. Hey, he's wearing his Linus is my homeboy shirt. He's smiling. As everyone just sort of flocks to MarcoCam.com.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
I wonder how many people we actually have listening to our show right now. That's a good question. Let's find out. GDP. So what have you been working on?
Let's see. I've been working on, one project that we haven't announced yet, so I can't really talk about that one. And I've been doing some hacking on the VPM100M, which is part of it's the hardware hacker cancer for the TDM2400P. And that's been my project so far for the last few days. And, yeah, that's about more or less it.
How about hacking on the TDM400 so it's cheaper, so people like I can afford it? Yeah, I said it.
One of these days.
Oh, man. Not soon enough.
Well, give it some time.
Yeah. I've been giving it tons of time. It's been like a year and a half. Damn it. Everything's supposed to have in price every 18 months. That's what Moore said. As for myself, I talked a little bit last week about SuitSat, and also they talked about it on the Off the Hook on 2600. SuitSat, I wouldn't say it failed miserably, but it definitely did not function
happily.
It failed happily, yes. It was a learning experience. That's how people try to pass off failure. Oh, it was a learning experience. SuitSat got shoved out of the airlock on Friday. I'm not sure what the date was. Last Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern. And for two orbits, it worked like a charm. And fortunately, I believe those two orbits really was a majority of ocean when it went over. And after those two orbits, they couldn't hear it anymore, which was very disappointing, and they thought it died. But as of right now, actually, let me go pull up the website.
and I'll just make sure that it's still working. It's transmitting, however, it's transmitting very weakly. Unless you have a very good antenna, you are not going to hear it, or you are unlikely to hear it.
Yeah.
And actually, you can...
Hey, get your hand out of the Red Bull fridge.
Oh, okay. We're going to have a Mark Spencer soundboard after this.
It is still orbiting. Apparently what it is I'm just going to... The original frequency you're supposed to listen to it on was 145.99 megahertz. But actually what they're doing on the International Space Station is they are rebroadcasting it on 437.8 megahertz, which is the downlink for the International Space Station. So you are going to be able to hear it, hopefully, maybe, we hope. Just listen to it over the next couple of days, because I believe the I believe the actual time frame was they expected it to last was about a week. So, but we don't know exactly what's going to happen with it, because everything's sort of gone out the window because it started failing. So they expect to have another one out in 2007, so hopefully that one will work well. They actually think what happened was the batteries froze, or possibly something came loose inside this spacesuit.
Are they going to try and retrieve it and do forensics on it?
No, it's going to burn up in the atmosphere.
Oh, charming.
And if it lands in your front yard, hey, you get to keep it.
Yay, free Russian spacesuit.
Or free Russian space cinder.
Yes.
No, as of 2 hours ago, it is still transmitting, just so you know. And this was, that would be 8:31 p.m. Eastern. And it was picked up by someone in Europe, I believe. Suitsat.org is actually, they've plotted it all out on the on the map, and who's heard it and who hasn't, and all that kind of wonderful stuff. So, and it is. My other thing that I've been working on is wonderful GIS mapping with on Windows, which is always fun. And I just want to plug this project. It's tinyurl.com/876bravo7. I lightly mentioned it last week, but we were sort of rushed for time, so I plowed right through it. It's called SharpMap, and it's basically this one guy out in Germany, and I believe actually he's younger than me, which is kind of depressing. And basically he has written this open source GIS library for .NET and C# for Windows all by himself, which is just absolutely amazing. And it's just a wonderful project, and it made a lot of things that I needed to do insanely easier than I thought they would be. And I just want to send shouts out to them. And I've sort of become the default op into their IRC channel, because I'm the only one there 24/7. So basically, I'm the one who keeps the little at symbol by his name the entire time. So that would be a sharp map. Take a look at it. If you ever want to map in Windows or do some type of mapping or statistical analysis via GIS, just look at that library. It's pretty good. And those are the two things that I've been doing. I actually need to listen to a SuitSat pass on that other frequency.
Cool. So I think in the...
So now we're actually getting into specific show topics.
Yeah, with only 25 minutes left to go on the show.
Well, we've only weaved in and out of it the entire night.
Yeah, we have.
Actually, we do have one more phone call, which is completely off topic. So do you want to get
it
out of the way first?
Yeah, sure, why not? Okay, I'll see if they're still there.
See them run. So yeah, SuitSat's fun. I'm really hoping that I'm going to hear it before it actually goes dead, because I basically got out at 10 a.m. and I listened to I had to wake up early on Saturday. I was very disappointed, and I sat out in my car with my Mag Mountain antenna and I listened for it and heard nothing, and I was very depressed. But if they're the new frequency that I gave out is the International Space Station is listening for it and also retransmitting it on a different frequency, so their transmitter is more powerful, and they're only like 2 miles away from it in space, so they should be able to hear it better than anyone off on the ground could. But good stuff.
So, nobody run.
In the interest of better customer service, this call... Oh, hell. Listen, if we were interested in better customer service, you wouldn't be listening to a recording.
Ha 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 ha! I wonder if anyone actually uses these out in the field.
Well, actually, that was the topic of one of my talks, because we didn't used to use Voice over IP for our incoming 800 number. We used TDM for that because, like a lot of people, we were just afraid of using Voice over IP across the wide open internet in a real business environment. Mm-hmm. And then one day, someone discovered an extension on our phone system. And actually, let me see if I can play it for you. I hadn't planned on it, but I'll play it for you. Hold on. And then
it'll be like, you know, Mark Spencer's Porn House After Hours.
Let's see here. Hold on just one sec. I'm going to try to do this. Let's see here. Oops.
You're listening to Typing Radio Live.
Thank you for holding. Your call is very important to us. Please stay on the line. You are the... I'm sorry. You're not the next caller in line. In fact, you are so far down the list, it's actually likely that we won't get to your call today. The next human voice that you might hear on the other end of this line is probably going to be the cleaning lady at 11 o'clock tonight, noticing the phone is off the hook. She'll pick it up and go, hello, and that's the best we'll do for you today. I'm sorry, I have to be honest with you. You are not the next caller in line. Hang up now. Live your life. Spend time with your children. Don't stay on hold. You are not the next caller in line.
I love that one. I was mouthing the words along with that as you played it.
And so, okay, with that prompt, someone sent out one of those emails that people on AOL tend to forward to, like, everybody. And those people would, in turn, call their friends and tell them to call our toll-free number and dial that extension. And so there was this massive number of calls that was coming in, like, you know, several hundred an hour, coming across our toll-free line with, you know, PRI, with all these people calling this extension that had this message on it. And we basically had to move to Voice over IP, and then people didn't really mind, and so we kept it.
That's awesome.
See, this is behold the power of the internet right there.
Oh, yes.
Exactly.
Okay, into our web.
All right, since we're actually going to get on to so, Mark, tell us about CHEOPS, and The entire, okay, just let me preface this, actually. The entire point of the show was I was just amazed at the sheer fact of the amount of software that I used in my, I guess you could say, Linux career that Mark wrote, which was, I was going through your website, and I was going, oh, God, I remember that, and I remember that, too. Oh, wow. And it was just kind of, I always knew him as the person who wrote Game, and now I knew him as the person who wrote Asterisk, and it was just, like, kind of weird how much stuff you actually wrote that I remembered. So, one of the programs that, at least I always thought it was cool, was CHEOPS, or how do you actually pronounce it?
CHEOPS.
CHEOPS, okay.
CHEOPS.
So
like, CHEOPS. Like, CHEOPS.
I don't know, I always picked it up at school, CHEOPS.
CHEOPS.
Yeah, exactly.
So what is CHEOPS?
It was a network user interface, or a NUI, with the idea that what you could do with CHEOPS was to give it a range of IP addresses or a domain, and it basically would either go out and LS the domain, get all the hosts, or go with the IP addresses, and then would go identify all of them with KESA, which was a precursor to NMAP, and it would put up little icons for each of the systems based on the operating system that was there. And then you could right-click on it, and it would port scan it and give you the services that were available, so you could, like, just right-click and go SSH, or, like, right-click and go web, and it would bring up a web browser pointed to that particular machine. So it made it very easy to see your network. And then you could hit Control-M to map it, and it would use traceroute to show you how all the machines were connected together. So it was just a really convenient tool for exploring your network and being able to access machines real easily. And people used it a lot. It was even, in the early days, it was more popular than Game in terms of the number of downloads.
But Game garnered maintainers, and Keops really didn't. And when I moved on to Asterisk, Keops really didn't go anywhere, and there was a lot that needed to be done. Like, the SNMP support could be improved, and you know, it needed to be updated to use Nmap instead of KSO, and, you know, a lot of other stuff like that that needs to happen. But fundamentally, I think it was kind of a cool concept.
I gotta admit, but when I first stumbled across it in, like, you know, 99, 2000, to be honest, I don't remember when I did, like 99, 2000, thereabouts, I was just like, wow, this is the coolest thing ever, and back in, like we said before, back in the days without network security, no one actually knew what the hell was going on their network. I did wonderful works of the entire, my entire corporate network where no one knew what the hell was going on.
Oh, it's fantastic. I never actually... In fact, one of the people that I work with here, Malcolm Davenport, Keops is how I found him, because I was running Keops on the local LAN network at the dorm I was in, and I was like, wait a second, there's another Linux box. How is that? And so I went running around looking for Linux box.
Yeah, actually, to be honest, we met somebody like that in my dorm, my freshman dorm, who was running Linux as well, and like, cause I just got into Linux, and I got one of my friends also just got into it, and we were, you know, doing all this kind of stuff, and we were playing with Samba, and when you did the Samba client, it would say, you know, Windows NT, whatever it is, or like it's a, you know, Samba, whatever. And we connected to the server and we said, oh my God, this person's running Samba. So we tracked this person down to say, wow, you're running Linux. And he said, wow, you're running Linux too. And
it was love at first sight.
It was wonderful. We actually stayed in touch during freshman and sophomore years, but then he dropped out and we never really heard from him again. Then my friend dropped out and I never heard from him again. So,
so I have a funny Samba story. When I was a co-op at a fairly large telecommunications company with about 1,500 employees, okay. One day we came into the office, and nobody in one entire wing of the building, so like half of the employees, right, 750 people, could not log in to the Windows network. It would just immediately reject their login.
Oh, God, is that what happened?
And the entire staff of entire IT management was running around with this little Fluke network meter trying to figure out the source of the problem and came running into my office saying, hey, it's your Linux box, isn't it? And I was like, no, I'm not even running Samba. But then I ran the SMB client and I was able to track down that there was a machine that was running Samba and went and found it. And it was that one of those old, do you guys remember those little Alpha 533, or not 533s, the Alpha like 133s that were really popular for a long time? So someone was running one of those. They were basically like a 486. And he had Samba running on it. And his little Alpha, his little miniature Alpha, was answering. He had configured it for the same domain, which would have been okay, except he also turned on domain logins. And it was answering all the requests faster than the multiprocessor Windows NT server that they had. So before the NT server could authenticate them, he was saying, nah. Yeah, you're not a user on me. So it was pretty funny.
That's amusing. Yes, I do actually remember hearing stories about that. As soon as you said, no one in the entire wing of this building could log into the Windows network. It's like, oh God, somebody turned on domain logon support and made themselves a domain master.
Yep, exactly.
Please select your hold music. Press 1 for Led Zeppelin. Press 2 for Kenny G. Press 3 for Eminem. Press 4 for Weasels. Press 5 to hear me endlessly listing digits you could press. Press 6 for fingernails screeching down a blackboard. Press 7 to hear a click, hum, a ringback, and that bell woman saying, if you'd like to make a call, please hang up and try again. If you need help, hang up and then dial your operator, followed by really loud beeping.
Oh, God, she talked about corn breath. That's our nickname.
We're sorry,
for
the
her.
Number
yeah.
You have reached
yeah. has been disconnected, or telephone service has been disconnected from this number due to telephone being disconnected.
Yeah. Yeah, if Evan Norbell had some master tapes of her, and he sliced her up to say that, but yeah, Ms. We're sorry, we're unable to personally answer your call right now. Is we call her Corn Breath, lacking a better name for her.
Because no one knows who she really is.
Yeah. Yeah, but she was the voice when AT&T was re-standardizing all the recordings in the early 80s to get the SIT tones on everything. They used her. So that's why she's bloody everywhere now.
Wow. That's pretty cool. That'll be Allison one day. You just watch.
Oh, yeah.
We're hoping. That's our dream, to be honest with you, because we're phone freaks and we have strange dreams, is that Allison becomes the next Jane Barbie, as it were.
Cool.
If I ever get an AIS machine, I should make Allison say all the digits.
Well, unless of course the original magnetic drum is intact with Jane on it, then in which case.
Oh, of course, yes. At which point you won't do anything.
Yeah.
That's funny.
All right. Well, we just sort of lightly touched on Chios, which was really going to technically be our main topic, but I think this was a relatively good show.
Oh, yeah. I guess if any of you listening out there are interested in maintaining Chios, Mark, why don't you pitch this?
Oh, yes. If anyone out there wants to be a maintainer and, like, seriously has some skill, then we'll send me a patch that does something interesting, like convert it over to Nmap, and then if it works, then you can be the maintainer. And I would be very happy and would go, yay! And maybe I'll get Allison.
Yeah.
Oh, and I bet we can get Allison to record your answering machine message.
This
like
call
that.
May be recorded and put up on our website for other customers to laugh at.
Oh, good old Alice.
By the way,
that's what people should do, I think.
These prompts, by the way, were inspired by Brad Templeton, who sent a list of these, and Allison was kind enough to do them all.
Totally
you
awesome.
You Allison and business, don't you?
Yeah, well, she certainly gets a lot of business through the voice website. Because you can buy prompts with basically anything you want and actually have Allison record them on through the Digium website if you go through to
like,
the voice.
Like saying, hello, noobs.
Exactly.
Exactly. All right. Announcements. I still have the old announcements from last week, and I deleted those, so... I don't think there's any announcements.
Well, Scale is going to be this weekend in Los Angeles, Southern California Linux Expo, and actually, not only will I be there, but Mr. Spencer will be there as well.
That's correct.
From what I understand, yes.
Are you going to be at Linux World Boston, Mr. Spencer?
Mr. Spencer. That sounds so weird. I don't know. I think I might be. I have to look at the conference calendar, but I think I might be speaking there, actually. I don't know.
I think I might be speaking there.
Don't
I don't
it.
Know.
Oh,
wow,
no,
I can't wait till I'm that popular and I can say that.
You can look on
Digimon.com. It'll be on Digimon.com.
One of the things is that I sort of transitioned to this point. Like, at first, the way it starts out is that you have people that kind of help you with things, like figuring out where you need to be and so on. And then at some point, that whole relationship changes, and you realize that you basically have handlers that tell you now where to go and where you have to be, and that just, you know, I sort of come into work, and I'm like, okay, where am I going this week, you know? Where do I have to be? So it's a very different kind of relationship than the way it starts out.
Yeah, it was so weird. When I scheduled Mark to be on the show, I just hit him up on AIM, and I said, hey, do you want to be on our show this week? And he's like, yeah, I'm pretty sure I'm available, but email my assistant instead and have her verify everything, because I don't even know what my schedule looks like anymore.
Right. We're trying to get Zimmer up and running, though, so once we have Zimmer up and running, then hopefully I'll get to have a little bit of say in my own schedule, because then I won't have to conflict with whatever everybody else puts down for me.
Hmm. Oh,
have you guys seen Zimbra, by the way?
Zimbra?
Yeah, Zimbra.
No, but I had a coworker once named Zimbra.
No, not exactly. It is actually a an Exchange drop-in replacement, protocol level compatible with Exchange, with a Ajax web Outlook look-alike. Outlook
free as in beer or free as in speech?
Free as in speech. And it's really pretty amazing. Of course, it's Ajax, so if you have a slow web browser, you'll want to use Pop and IMAP to connect up to it. But it's got calendaring, it's got email, and it has a pluggable interface where you can do cool things like it can recognize a FedEx tracking number or UPS tracking number, and when you mouse over it, it'll tell you what its status is. So it's pretty nifty stuff. You can mouse over an address. If you go to Zimbra.com, they have an online demo you can go through.
That's Zimbra.
Check that out.
Correct. Let's see if I can remember.
Zimbra.
Zebra Indigo.
Mike.
That's Mike.
Bravo Romeo
Alpha. Bravo. That's R.
Romeo. I just said
Romeo. Yeah.
Zulu, India, Mike, Bravo, Romeo, Alpha.
Thank you. Here's a question for our listeners. I would love to find out. We were debating about whether or not you could create the entire phonetic alphabet using only expletives. And I could get no farther. I couldn't come up with a good one for E. So with that thought, we can let our listeners work on it and see what they come up with.
If we get that assembled, we will read the whole thing on the radio show, I guarantee you.
Who will?
I will. I will personally read the whole thing on the radio show.
All right.
We'll have a swearing episode where we do nothing but curse all the entire time. All right. So, Scale, do we have any other announcements? Because they're kind of running out of time.
Not that I can think of.
There's OSBC in San Francisco, too, the very following week, which I'll be at. That's an open source business conference.
Okay.
Other than that, I don't know what I'll be on that. Eventually, there's Vaughn in San Jose. Lots of stuff out in California.
Yay, California! Well, because it's winter up in there.
Why there aren't more Voice over IP conferences in Alabama. It just blows my mind.
Well, what drives me nuts is there's no hacker conferences in Boston. I mean, heck, that actually kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
No. We've got MIT, we got all the smart people up here, but no geeky conferences up here. Hell, we just got Linux World.
We got 5 minutes left, so...
coming up in the fall.
Yes, we have Vaughn coming up in the fall, too, which I'll be attending. Site of the week, we're going to go with the Sharp Map again, which is... hold on, I completely lost my URL. I said it early in the episode, just go there. Email, radio@binrev.com. Mark, do you have any shouts out to people?
All of the Asterisk developers out there, thank you. I really appreciate
the
help that we get for people that go and develop with Asterisk and post their patches and put up with how long it takes us sometimes to get the more complicated ones in. I just really can't express enough my appreciation for all the help that we get.
How long it takes get into fights with Jer Jer on the Mantis system about saying that my patch does work, yet he doesn't believe me, and it was his fault that he wasn't downloading it correctly, but we won't get into that.
and I especially want to say I'll throw out some greets to BJ from Birds of the Word for sending us that awesome Red Bull fridge.
Igium, powered by Red Bull.
And then I think, do you have any greets you want to get? Oh, yeah, we definitely want to thank the makers of Red Bull. It's,
and girls. Cool. And girls.
And not so much the girls.
All right. Well, I'll send shouts out to you, Mark. Thank you for coming on. And it was a very, very, very interesting episode. I'll give it that.
Well, it was fun.
Yeah, it was fun. It was interesting. Yeah. We get to hear all the new Asterisk prompts.
Shout
their
out
premiere party on BinRev Radio.
Shout out to Allison Smith for recording all that awesome stuff.
Oh,
yeah,
absolutely.
All right. You know,
live agents are ready to assist you. To reach one,
Enter the 53rd through 69th digits of the cube root of pi.
We got to have her on the show at some point.
Yes, we totally should. All right. Do we have any Spanish speakers out there?
I'm sure we do.
Because I do have one Spanish one, which
well,
he did.
Play it up, and then we'll go into our whole music, or into our closing music.
Si usted habla español, usted sabe lo que estoy diciendo. Ni Dios nada prensa número dos.
What is that? If you don't talk to anyone, do not press number two?
As I understand it, the translation is, if you speak Spanish, you know I'm really not saying anything. Press two.
All right. So,
our closing music this week is something from OC Remix you downloaded. Mega Man 3, something or other?
Yes, Mega Man 3. Oh, shoot, I'm completely drawing a blank on the title. I'll figure it out. It's somewhere in my bookmarks.
Yeah. Mega Man 3, something or other.
Yes, Mega Man 3 Remix, something, something, something. So, we will see you next week. Same hack time.
Same hack channel.
Anyone else still on? Hello.